Shore Talk, the sound of yachting world.
Hello and welcome, I'm Matthew Shear. Within 24 hours of the start, the last Volvo Ocean Race had exploded into the media spotlight. From broken keel mechanisms to monster wipeouts, none in the seven-boat fleet escaped the first night without some form of damage. It was, without doubt, the most dramatic start to a round-the-world event that anyone had witnessed. But the drama didn't stop there. Throughout the nine-month event, reports of staggering speeds and new world records were offset by disturbing reports of crippled boats that had suffered mechanical failures or serious structural problems. Some had both. In the last long-distance leg across the Atlantic, Movistar was lost as a critical part of her internal structure broke up. By the end of the race, it was clear that one of the biggest leaps in performance that the monohull world had ever witnessed had come at a price. Some questioned whether the long-term future of the race itself had been damaged beyond repair, and yet since the finish, there have been several announcements from teams who've already entered the next event. Among them is a man more used to racing around the Cairns, a man well known for his string of successful Mean Machine racing yachts, a man acknowledged as one of the world's top owner drivers, and a man who prefers his competitors to see little more than his transom. But by his own admission, a man who suffers badly from seasickness. I caught up with Peter Derrida and asked him about his decision to enter the next Volvo Ocean Race. Would he be competing?
No. I only will sell the imports. So either as a helmsman, you know, as a driver, if I'm still fit and capable, because then I will be 2 years older again. But I don't, you know, I'm not the type of guy for the long haul. You know, I never was, nor mentally nor physically. When I was doing athletics, I was not a marathon runner, or even not the 1500 meters. It was just the 400 and 200, you know, that kind of stuff, but no way longer. So that's not in my genes, so to say.
Right. So why the move? Why this?
I think my challenge is, first, you know, we have a team. We started to talk about it, but my challenge is that, you know, we can make a team going and doing this this thing with a reasonable chance of winning. And, you know, my challenge is to put together a nice team and to have a nice project go, which will be successful. Because my belief is in this forward thing, that preparation is of huge importance. So if you have your logistics in order, if you are in time with your design, if you put enough money and time into testing, you know, developing your sail program, well, let's say have everything in order, then you can have a winning team. I think that many teams in the past have proven that, like Ilbro 4 years ago, like ABN AMRO this year, they were the first to announce, they were the first to build the first boat, then they did the second one, and incorporated all the changes in a new boat and all the experience, and I think that's the way to go. Not that we are going to build two boats.
I was
going to
say, just one.
No, we are going, you know, I have a deal in place. I still have to get it in paper, but I have a deal in place with Berkey, with Glenn Burke, to get the Pirates. So will be our, let's say, our base boat. Makes it easier for the designer, because he has a base boat in place. And we will have a test, let's say, yes, a test boat, so the B boat. You have to test again, and later on you can use that boat for corporate sailing. So one of my plans is, you know, to get, you know, to squeeze the boat into Valencia for next year's Louis Vuitton and America's Cup, and do corporate sailing, you know, in order to attract sponsors, or if you already have a sponsor, I think it will be of high interest for Spanish companies to have this program going, and you know, to be possible also to do lots of business-to-business PR, with their business partners, etc. You're going out on the boat, look at the races, have a nice dinner, blah, 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 yeah, etc., etc.
So what was the big appeal of the Volvo Ocean Race?
Not so much the race, but more the performance of the boats.
Even though they were having all kinds of shocking problems at times?
Yeah, first-generation boats, so you know, probably, you know, the second generation will be way better. They made some provisions already in the rule I saw about the canter keel mechanisms and stuff, and about the weight of the boat, put limits on keel, bulb and keel weight, pushed up the bend for the total weight of the boat, so that the structures will be more firm and solid.
There's been a lot of criticism in some quarters of the press that the race isn't what it used to be, there aren't the Southern Ocean legs now, and it's not the Volvo, so therefore it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
You don't see it like that?
No. I think just going to the countries where it's economically happening is a good choice, because that may open a whole new bucket of sponsorship. Because they want to go to Dubai, they want to go to Singapore, they want to go to Japan, to China. And secondly, it opens up a whole new challenge, because you have to sail through seas nobody was there before. I mean, that means that also the whole design can be a different game. But maybe you have to cross many light paddles. I think they have to cross, what I've heard, if you go through the doldrums now, they have to go through the, where it's pretty wide, so it makes it a completely different race.
Right.
And if they go to, for instance, from China to directly to San Francisco, that can be a hard one.
So what is the starting point for his campaign?
First thing, we are now collecting weather data to one of the weather guys for this new trajectory, because that input has to go to the designer.
Yeah, do you know who you'll use as a designer?
Not yet, but I have a pretty firm preference for Rolf Rolik, because I already have built many boats with him. We have a very good relationship. He's Dutch, makes it easier to talk the lingo, and he's a good guy.
Mm.
But he always comes to look at his boats and talk to the guys sailing his boats. Always interesting and always a challenge. If you come to him, he wants you to build a fast boat. So he's very dedicated.
A word that barely does justice to Derrida's passion for competition. Having stamped his authority in the TP52 class by winning the season overall, within a few weeks he was on the other side of the Atlantic competing in the Mum 30 Worlds. For Derrida, winning is what it's all about. Thanks for listening, and watch out for future podcasts at www.yachtingworld.com. I'm Matthew Sheehan. Until next time.
Shore Talk, the sound of Yachting World.
Shore Talk is an Airwaves Media production for Yachting World.